Love my crews. Amen. What's that? Duct tape? Yeah, I'd get arrested for the amount of tape I'd put on him. Amen. We have, I'll start announcing it. We have an annual business meeting coming up. I think we're shooting for the 14th. It's a Monday night. It's in like 3 weeks. And, you know, having said that, those of you who've been fellowshipping with us for a while, if you haven't become members yet and you would like to become members, please let me know and we'll discuss a few things and we can perhaps make that happen before the annual business meeting. Our annual business meeting is where, you know, decisions are made, things are discussed, and if anything gets voted on, you need to be a member to be able to have, I mean, you can have a say, you can have a part of the conversation, but in anything that we discuss, but anybody can, but in order to vote and make, you know, policy and procedure, you need to be a member. And so just put that, tuck that in the back of your mind. If that's something that you'd like to talk about, please let me know. We'll get that taken care of. And so that'll be coming up. Again, this afternoon, we'll be going down to the park, Genesee Park, in the corner of Genesee and Lewis Street. So we will not be having an evening service tonight because we'll be down there. I believe it runs until 5 o'clock. And so and then at the end of the day, there'll be stuff to pick up and things to do. And so I so appreciate our workers that went out there yesterday and helped out and got there early, helped them get it all set up. And it was just a really good day. Everything ran smoothly. And it was just a lot of fun. I appreciate those of you who went out and helped in that. Amen. I have been doing a series, all of you perhaps know, based on these particular five verses. And I believe I've been calling this a master key. For those who haven't been here before, we have a few folks here that haven't seen this yet, and so I don't mind going over things and reminding us of things. You know, every week as we do Celebrate Recovery, we go over the steps over and over and over again. It's good to keep it in our minds, to get it instilled in our spirits. So I'm just continuing on these five verses. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. You shall be witnesses to me. Go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that this is a master key for successful Christian life. If we, you know, and there's, of course, there the whole Bible is the master key, okay? But if we focus just on these particular five verses, we can see a roadmap that'll take us to the place where Jesus wants us all to be. Mark 16:15 on the bottom there. Preaching the gospel to every creature. I had somebody just the other day telling me that they've been preaching to their dog. They want their dogs to go to heaven. Now we all think that all dogs go to heaven, but I'm not so sure about that. But just like I've been encouraging you to practice here in church, you know, look at your neighbor, say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? It's practice on your dog. Whatever it takes, get comfortable. You know, there's a lot of cat lovers here, you know. Practice that. Get Gracie saved. Her name is Grace. Get her saved. You know, preach to the cat. You know, whatever it takes. But just to get comfortable communicating the gospel, you have to speak it. You know, a lot of times, how many have that conversation in your mind? You know you're going to meet somebody, you know you're going to have a conversation, and you run through your mind all the words you're going to say. And then when you get there, none of those words ever come back to mind, and you don't say one of them, right? But you know, if you would make a habit of practicing the words that you desire to say, practice them, they'll come out more fluently, more often. And so when we're thinking about preaching to every creature, we're preaching the gospel to the people around us, it's good for us to practice. To talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus to the mirror. Talk about Jesus to the cat or the dog or the frog or whatever it is. You got those of you who have fish tanks, you got a whole bunch of suckers in there to preach to. Amen? Or goldfish or whatever it is you have in your fish tank. But I'm a little bit stuck right now on that second verse Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so I want to touch on that verse yet again one more time today. And let's ask God to just open up our hearts to him. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that it is true, that we can stand on it. And Lord, if we would take heed to it, you, God, would direct our lives each and every day. We would know what direction to go. We would know what path to take. We would know what to say, when to say, and who to say it to. And so, God, as we look at your word again today, I just pray that you'll help us with open minds and open hearts to receive what your Spirit is speaking to us today, that our lives truly would be changed. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking that as we were worshiping, that we should live our lives in such a way that others would glorify God. There's a verse that talks about that, and I don't have it off the top of my head. It's just something I was thinking as we were worshiping, and God's presence was just awesome up on the stage. I don't know what it was like out here today, but it was great up here. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, if each and every one of us would just live our lives in such a way that people would glorify God because of what you do, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? Yes. Thank you. Yes. Amen. How many love it when God shows up? I do. Thank you, Jesus. I get to the place a lot of times where I don't want to be anywhere where God's not. You know, even if I'm just wandering through the grocery store, it's like, hey, Jesus, I'm glad you're with me today. Let's go get some French fries and hot dogs and head to the cash register or whatever it is we're shopping for that day. Well, Matthew 16:24. I forgot to put my little tabs on here, so I don't know when to change the slides. I'll just have to make it up as I go. What's next? Okay, we can go with that. Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, last week we talked about why we need to deny ourselves. Do you remember that? Because if we do not deny ourselves, who will? Jesus is not going to force us to do anything. He's very gentle, and he gives us free will, and it's our decision. We have to deny ourselves. That's why he says for us to do it. We have to deny ourselves, because if we don't deny ourselves, remember, we won't make it through basic training. It's tough, isn't it? And when you're a Christian, stuff comes at you, and next thing you know, I'm done with this God thing. I'm going back to the world. And if we don't deny ourselves, then we'll fail at the mission that God has given us. You know what? I should have said this last week, but could I get every one of us to say this out loud? God has a plan for me. And if you do not deny yourself, you will fail. You will not reach that plan, that goal that God has set for you. It's important that we learn to deny ourselves. And finally, the last one, remember this? If you do not deny yourself, you will end up denying Jesus. And that's really sad. I don't want to be one who denies the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of anything. And so I need to deny myself and allow him to do whatever he wants in me and through me. And I have found that the more that I deny myself and the more that I go after his will and his plan, the greater joy, the greater fulfillment, the greater life that I live. And it's just a wonderful experience denying yourself the pleasures of this world. Now, this particular message I'm going to speak today, is more about kind of a request that I hear quite often. Last week we talked about the how. Last week we talked about the why. This week we want to talk about the how. How do you deny yourself? Because how many find it really easy not to do the wrong thing? We always do the wrong thing. That seems to be the easy thing to do. So how do we get to the place where we can truly deny ourselves? The more that I deal with people who struggle with addictions and people who struggle with just certain hurts from the past or things like that, you know, I'm often hearing, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? I'm afraid. I don't know how to end these cravings. I don't know how not to do what I'm doing. And generally speaking, it's if you could deny yourself the cravings that are inside you for the things that are wrong, deny yourself the hate that you have for others who've done you wrong, and deny yourself all these other things, that perhaps you would find healing and relief in Jesus Christ and get past all those things so that you can move forward. It's not always easy. But there is a how. And I'm going to touch on three things today that pertain to the how. And of course, I'm sure there's more, and I don't know that I've got an exhaustive study on the how to deny yourself. There's tons of verses and scriptures. If you study your word, you can learn how the disciples, you know, denied themselves. You can learn how, you know, even in the Old Testament, how they, you know, they denied themselves certain things of the world in order to go forward with God. But three things that I want to talk about this morning. The first one is right there, you see it. To deny yourself, you have to be willing. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any will come after me. If any will come after me. You have to be willing to deny yourself. How many of us are usually willing to deny ourselves? Cruz challenged me again yesterday. Uncle Dale, I challenge you not to drink Mountain Dew or Coke for 3 weeks. I haven't taken the challenge. Because I know if I take the challenge, I have to deny myself 2 of my favorite drinks. I've been denying myself Pepsi for several years, but, you know, no, I don't even care about Pepsi anymore. Now it's Coke or Mountain Dew. It's not easy. So I have to be willing, in order for me to stop drinking Coke and Pepsi, I have to be willing to deny myself Coke and Pepsi. Crew said, it's only 3 weeks. In order to get the results that I would like for denying myself those things, it's going to take more than 3 weeks, I'm afraid. It starts with what, sir? It starts with 3 weeks. And you know what? It starts with less than that. It starts with today. Just one day. One day at a time. Are you willing to deny yourself the thing that you know you should not have, the thing that you know you should not do, the thing you know that you should not think for one day? Are you willing? Most of the times we are not. Galatians 5:16 says, then I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Today, how about just today? One day, can we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? One day. And then tomorrow, when we wake up, before we put our feet on the floor in the morning, you knew it was coming. Okay, today, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just for another day. And then another day. But every day that you wake up, you have to be willing. And you cannot allow your will to drop. If you want to know how to deny yourself, just work up the will within you. You have to be willing. If anyone will. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Have I got the right portion of scripture? Okay, take up his cross, follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to what he's willing to do. You see what that says there? Each according to his works. He will reward each according to his works, or he will reward each according to what they're willing to do. Think about that for a moment. I know right now, probably most of us would be willing to gain everything in this world. How many would like more money? Yeah. How many would like a better car? A bigger house? Oh, yeah, big house, yeah. Yeah, we're willing for all that, aren't we? To gain all of it. But are we willing to let all that go in order that we could gain heaven? In order that we could gain the rewards that Jesus Christ has for eternity? Do you know why we need new cars? Because our old ones have rotted. Do you know why we need bigger houses? Because our old ones have broken down and we fill them up with stuff and we don't have enough room. You know why we need more money? Because we spend it all over the place and we don't save any of it. But Jesus said somewhere in the Bible, he's going to give us treasure that can't be taken away. It won't rot. It won't get old and break down. And I'm pretty sure heaven's big enough for whatever it is that Jesus gives you, and it'll be more than enough to be fulfilling for eternity. Can you imagine that? Having something that will fulfill your life through for eternity? So what are we willing to do? Will we be willing to deny ourselves? The worldly pleasures in order to gain all that God has in store for us. Are you willing? So part of the how is to be willing. Jesus himself said this. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who has sent me. You see, even Jesus understood that he had the ability to choose to do whatever it is he was going to do. But he said, you know what? I don't seek my own will. I seek my Father's in heaven. And so, if we would follow his example and choose or be willing to do the will of our Father in heaven, that would be the first step in how to deny ourselves. And so, that's a pretty easy step. You don't really have to do anything other than choose to be willing. Okay? And so, just take that little baby step this morning. Okay, I'm willing to do God's will and not my own. Ooh, boy, I said baby step, but that's kind of like stepping across the Grand Canyon sometimes. And so if it's your desire, maybe just even speaking it into your life. Remember I said a few moments ago, things that you say, a lot of, you know, the more you say it, the more it'll get into your spirit, the more you'll be able to actually live it. And so, you know, when you look yourself, I'll let you get to the bathroom, Sarah, look in the mirror, and look in the mirror and say, I'm willing. Today I'm willing to do God's will and not my own. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm sure that God would love to see the church of Jesus Christ on this world, every individual, every part of the body, willing to do his will. So that's the first step of the how. You have to be willing. The second one, to deny yourself, you need to be able to control what your emotions are attached to. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. Control what your emotions are attached to. I've never heard a message on this. But and I've heard other churches, you know, other people complain about, you know, different churches. Oh, that's just all emotion over there. And, you know, it's all hype and emotion, and it's all this and it's all that. Well, you know what? Our emotions drive us a lot of times. A lot of the things we do because of our emotions. And so it's important that we are able to control not just what we think. You know, we talk about that quite often. Take captive every thought, you know. Control what goes through your mind, what you allow in, and what the things that you think about, and things like that. But our emotions are something that we need to be able to control as well. And in Matthew 19, I'll show you why. Chapter, verse 16. Behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Now, there's a lot of things about this young man that I like. And that is that he knew on the inside that there was something more. He said, when Jesus said, "You know what, just keep the commandments," he said, "You know what, I do all those things, but what am I still lacking?" And so it was good, and it is good for us to be aware if we're not quite there. Okay, God, what is it? What am I missing? I would like some more. And so, you know, we can ask God that question, but when he gives us the answer, it's very important that we control our emotions. Because a lot of times when we talk to God and we ask him for something, and he actually tells us what it is that he wants us to do, or he wants where he wants us to go, many times we won't receive it because it's like, "Oh, I don't want to do that." And what it says here in verse 22, the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful. In other words, he wasn't able to control his emotions about all of his stuff. He was attached through his emotions to his stuff. What are you attached to emotionally? Is it stuff? Is it some other person? Is it some other thing? Is it anything outside of Jesus Christ? We have to be able to control our emotions. How many people are not here this morning because when they woke up, they're like, "Oh, I'm tired. You know, I just don't feel like going to church today." Sometimes you got to control your emotions. I'm sorry you don't feel like going to church today, but Jesus wants you to come to church today so that you can spend time in his presence. He wants to hear your voice lifted up, giving him praise. He wants you to gather together with other people of like mind and like spirits that you can love on one another and help one another grow and learn from one another and encourage one another and admonish one another. All those people that got up this morning and weren't able to control their feelings about, "I just don't feel like it today," have missed out. They didn't hear God say through Gloria, "You know what, I see your tears, and I've got them in the same towel as my tears are, and I'm wringing them out." We have to be able to control our emotions if we're going to deny ourselves. This guy could not deny himself and follow Christ because his emotions were attached to his stuff. We tend to go after what our emotions are attached to. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts." Get a taste of Jesus Christ. And when you really get a taste of him, your emotions start leaning towards him. My emotions have changed since I came to the Lord. And it's a good feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. And you know what? The more I spend time with him, the more my emotions attach me to him. And that's very important. Mark 12:30 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." Somewhere in the mix of all that, if you put it all together, it equals your emotions. Everything about you. You shall love. Love is an act, but love is also an emotion. And so the second thing that we have to do in order to deny ourselves is we need to be able to control our emotions and make sure that our emotions or our hearts are not attached to the things of this world, because if they are, we won't deny ourselves. We'll deny Christ like this guy. And lastly, this water is really good. To deny yourself, you need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Our flesh has cravings. You know that? Addicts know that. Our flesh has cravings. I love when I throw a line out there and a little conversation starts all over the place. Because it tells me I've struck a chord somewhere, you know. Matthew 19:16, "Behold, one came and said to him, 'Good master, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life?'" You see, our flesh has cravings, but so do our spirits. Remember at the beginning, the guy said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" He had a craving in his spirit for something more. He had a craving in his spirit to know how to get to heaven, how to be with God, how to move forward in the spiritual realm of things. What must I do to have eternal life? Look at Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Somebody say, "Thank you." Thank you, Lord. No condemnation. "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it that was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those also who live according to the Spirit, to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." There's a lot to be said there. He wants us to walk not according to the flesh. He wants us to pay attention to what's in our minds, not be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded. In order to do that, it's important for us to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Well, how do you learn how to walk in the Spirit? How do you learn anything? You look up the information, you act upon the information, and the more you do what it is you've learned, that's what you perform, that's what you become. How many of you, whatever your job is today, wherever you work, whether it's at McDonald's, whether you're fixing, you know, working on computers, whatever your job is, construction, whatever. When you were 10 years old, did you know how to do what you do now? Probably not. I highly doubt anybody here knew at 10 years old. Because you didn't have the experience, you didn't have the knowledge, you didn't have the probably even the capacity in your mind to go there at that time of your life. But since you were 10 years old, you went to school, you learned to trade, however it is, maybe you're self-taught, maybe you went to college, whatever the case may be, but you learned something, and you took what you learned, and you practiced what you learned, and now you have a career, right? Based on what you've practiced. Walking in the Spirit is very similar. It's easy to walk in the flesh. We do that by default because we are flesh. But if we want to walk in the Spirit, we need to learn, okay, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? And as I start walking in the Spirit, guess what happens? I start living in the Spirit. I start, the flesh has less of a hold on me. And so learning to walk in the Spirit is very important. Galatians 5, let's go there for a moment. It's very important, again, that we walk in the Spirit in order that we... This is all part of the how to deny ourselves. And it's part of how we deny ourselves, because when we talk about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about walking in God's Spirit, not our own. We're talking about doing what God desires, not what we desire. That's walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the words of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, underline, red flag, highlight, circle. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That should be like oh my gosh, I better really pay attention what that's saying. Okay? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, so here we've talked about this before. Galatians chapter 5, wherever that falls in your Bible, take a piece of paper, a bookmark, whatever it is you got, and stick it in there, because what you have there is a list of things to do and things not to do. If you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit, do the things it says to do. If you want to stop walking in the flesh, stop doing the things it says not to do. These are things that if you want to really grow in God, and you want to really learn how to crucify the flesh and start walking in the Spirit, there's the list right there. You can wake up and you can go through your day. You can look at the end of the day, you can look at the list. Oh, I did that. I did that. I did that. Well, wait, I did this too. Well, okay, I got a couple of good ones there, and I might have did that. We talk about self-examination all the time in Celebrate Recovery, don't we? The reason is because when we really pay attention to what we do, what we say, what we think, and we're conscious and aware, then we can start living intentionally. And we can start living more according to the Spirit of God versus the flesh of Cruz, which is going to be read in a few minutes. No. What are you doing over there? You're distracted on a whole section. Walk in the Spirit, buddy, up here. But you understand what I'm saying? He wrote it down for us. He showed us exactly what it is we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. So if you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit, circle that whole section, and at the end of every day, do a little evaluation. And then maybe you can start writing down what it is you want to do tomorrow and intentionally wake up in the morning and decide, you know what, I'm going to do these things because this is what God calls walking in the Spirit. And I'm not going to do these things because this is what God calls walking in the flesh. If you want to learn how to deny yourself, part of the how is walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so I give you those three things this morning, and that's just that's probably just a start of it. God, I'm sure, may have a whole bunch more to help us learn how to deny ourselves. But those three things, I believe, will help you. First, be willing. Secondly, control your emotions. And third, learn how to walk in the Spirit. We can do that. Look at your neighbor and say, you can do that. Now look at your neighbor again and say, I can do that too. Amen. Stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. Again, this afternoon, I encourage you to go down to the Genesee Park and enjoy some ministry down there. It was good yesterday. We had a great time. I trust it'll be good again today. But amen. I am thrilled. I really am. The longer I serve the Lord, the more I learn, and the more I learn, the greater my experience with the Lord is. And it's just, maybe you can't see it, maybe you can, but I just, inside of me, I feel full. I mean, I feel there's fulfillment when it comes to serving the Lord and worshiping and just loving others, and it's awesome. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to learn why and how and do by denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus Christ. What a awesome life he gives us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, how powerful and true it is. And God, how inspiring it is. And today I pray that for each of us, Lord, that we learn the value of denying ourselves the things of this world, denying our flesh and the lust thereof, and going after you with our whole hearts, with all of our emotions. Lord, learning how to walk in the Spirit in order to, God, that we can do your will and not ours. And so, Father, I bless each one standing here today. Lord, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us, that you would cause our minds to think the things that you want us to think, that you would cause our hearts and our beings, God, to do the things that you want us to do. And Lord, that we would be intentional about not doing the things you don't want us to do, and very active in doing the things that you do desire from us. And so, Father, bless each one here today as we learn to deny ourselves, as we learn to walk in your Spirit. God, that we would be productive members in the body of Christ, advancing your kingdom, bringing in much fruit, winning souls. Father, bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. I've enjoyed today. I hope you did too. So we'll see you down at the park if you manage to venture down there. Wednesday night, we'll be back here for Celebrate Recovery. Amen. Have a great day.